it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Blue Wire.
What is up, Nets fans? Welcome to the Brooklyn Buzz. I'm Nick Faye. With me, as always, my guy, Jack Manuel. Jack, another Nets loss to the Knicks, 108-103, and another fourth quarter collapse. So, how are we doing?
The Nets are chokers.
Yeah, it is rough. It is not a very enjoyable stretch or season for this Brooklyn Nets team. We're going to jump into that and plenty more. Make sure you check the Buzz on all streaming platforms. But, Jack, I guess we start with the fourth quarter in this one.
It starts and ends with the fourth quarter, Nick, because if you're going through two and a half, three quarters of basketball, the Nets are probably the better team. The Nets played some pretty good hoops. Mikhail was on, Cam J was on, Cam T was contributing, Klax was rebounding everything in his side. Don't want to mention
defense was solid.
Defense was pretty good. You know, they were making the right rotations. They started hitting the three ball a little bit more. And then as soon as the 5 minute mark hit, you know, I think Doug Norrie of Locked On Nets kind of like jinxed us, because he's like, oh, the Nets are going into the last quarter with a lead. What can happen here? And it's just like, you almost expected it. You know, yeah. Barclays Center was full of Knicks fans. It was full of Spike Lee. It was full of weird little furry things, Tyra Banks, whatever else. It's just like, this was only going to go in one direction. Despite the fact that Mikhail bouncing back again, I don't understand what Jacques Vaughn was doing, not calling a timeout when one was needed, as he did against the Clippers. I don't understand what he was doing, not inserting Cam Thomas when the Nets struggled to create something offensively. Again, Cam Thomas gets thrown out there in the last 2 minutes. He's like, hey, come and do something for us, when like the game is literally gone. And it just feels like to me that this organization is broken.
Yeah, right now there's just a dark cloud over it, you know, just a lot of negativity and bad vibes. You know, it just, you know, like you said, going to the fourth and the Knicks showcased a little energy. It was just like, oh man, they're going to make a run and they're going to win, just because that's the way this season's gone for the Nets. And obviously, you know, Knicks are a good team too, but at the same time, like you said, the Nets were the better team for three quarters. They had a really nice third quarter. The momentum was all there, but even the start of the fourth, it was a weird vibe for the team. I think that bench unit's kind of questionable when they're playing all those small guys. And then he played Klax like 15 straight minutes or something like that, because he played the entire third and then he started in the fourth too. It just, you never really felt good. And then, like you mentioned, no Cam Thomas down the stretch. You go with Dennis Smith Jr., who, you know, plays with a ton of great energy, but offensively is just not good enough really to close a lot of games, because he's so sporadic on that end of the floor. I know he made some defensive plays in this one, but at the same time, it's like, I think like thinking big picture, you know, over the course of the last week or so about this team and how Vaughn handles things and talking with you in the DMs, one thing that really sticks out is like, Jacques Vaughn is terrible at balancing lineups, you know, balancing offense versus defense. He typically likes to lean too much to other things instead of offense, when at the end of the day, scoring points is the most important thing in the NBA, especially in the fourth quarter when it gets tougher to hit shots and get buckets.
Yeah, I just feel like he is... Look, we saw what he said before the game, pregame, about the fourth quarter stuff. And look, I think it's worth bringing it up right now, Nick, because it relates to what we're discussing. And I'll quickly get the quote up. And this is via, you know, a couple of beat reporters, but this one directly is via Brian Lewis. And it is staggering to hear. And he had another staggering thing to say about Lonnie Walker. We might get to that. He said this: usually on a game day, I wouldn't have watched the fourth quarter with our group. But we watched the fourth quarter shoot around. I don't think players watch film like they used to. They watch highlights. You need to watch the film and they need to see what actually happened. What? Yeah. What?
I don't know. I mean, unless we're just really out of touch with the rest of the NBA, it does feel like guys do actually watch film. At least great players do, and good teams do watch film. So I don't know if this is a Nets player issue or why the coaching staff isn't enforcing them and getting them to watch more film, especially when a lot of the issues with this team are pretty predictable and repetitive. And then also it's just like, it's almost like throwing shade at his players once again, you know, saying like, yeah, these guys don't watch film. They just watch highlights. It's like, what do you do with highlights? And then also, you know, listening to the broadcast, Van Gundy's constantly bringing up, you know, Nets are playing defense and they're not doing a good job forcing, you know, ex Knicks player to their weak hand. And it kind of goes with some of the game planning and the overall team is just like, they're not prepared. It just kind of seems like sometimes they're just thrown out there and they don't really know what the plan is. It's just like, go play basketball.
Yeah. And look, Jacques Vaughn's reactivity, word salads, like he's verbal diarrhea, man.
Yeah.
Like,
his pressers have gradually gotten worse and worse and worse. And I think we're at a point now where, you know, we're expecting a pretty terrible statement every time, at least one of them.
Yeah. I feel like I'm going to need to mute the words Jacques and Vaughn on, on Twitter. Like, I just have to for my own sanity, Nick. You know, after, I can't remember who it was that originally posted the photo of Jacques Vaughn smiling, leaning back, cross-folding his arms after the Nets go down by after giving up 22 straight points to the Los Angeles Clippers, and then keeps spewing bullshit after bullshit after bullshit pregame, talking about Lonnie Walker, how he's made one bad mistake, you can't foul that guy, and then just yanks him out of the game despite being one of the most effective offensive players. His reasoning, like, he needs to have his brain studied for the decisions that he makes or doesn't make. It just feels like, what goes on in that man's head? It's like the monkey, like, clapping the cymbals half the time. It's like the Jimmy Neutron gif that I post like a billion times. Like, he is idiotic in like what he explains. He's like, I think you've said this, it's like a guy trying to be smart and just spewing bullshit and thinking it comes off as smart, but it actually makes you look even freaking stupider.
Well, I think what makes him look, you know, not very intelligent is the fact is that he doesn't have much rationale and there's not much consistency. You know, you mentioned him talking about, you know, minutes are determined by his guys, players' performances and things like that. And then we see all these different times where minute allocation is not reflected off of play and guys are still given big minute allocations, even if they're not playing well. And then at times where it feels like, oh, maybe you should lean into this guy a little bit more or maybe extend his minutes. He doesn't do that. I think, you know, a great example was today in the first quarter with Cam Johnson, who was clearly, you know, cooking, you know, he was doing his thing and he looked like he was going to have a really big game. And then it was just a super quiet first half for him after that. You know, he had the little spurt in the first quarter, ended up getting pulled at his regular minute rotation, where it's just like, all right, you can adapt a little bit if a guy is hot right now. And then in that second quarter, they don't even run any plays to keep Cam Johnson in momentum, in rhythm. And obviously he didn't have a great finish to the fourth quarter. We'll talk about that a little bit later, but it's just like, you need to help put these players in position to be successful, especially when you're constantly saying in pressers, you know, we don't have all-stars, we can't rely on ISO. Well, call more sets, have more of a focus in a game plan. And again, we don't know if, you know, players are executing, but at the same time, you know, matching up what he's saying, the vibes of the team and all those different things, it just doesn't add up. And I think there's a level of frustration with this team and a lot of guys are underperforming. But at the end of the day, when someone's, you know, making mistakes like he is, it becomes more frustrating.
Yeah, we saw a coach get fired today with a record, and his team had a record of 30-13. Like, a team that was 17 games above 500 and was on their way to probably being a top two or top three seed in the East. Yet we, as Nets fans, the Nets organization, accept mediocrity from our head coach. That's just what it is. Like, name for me, like, 2-3 NBA head coaches better than Jacques Vaughn. Like, I legitimately can't. You can make arguments for Steve Clifford's, Monty Williams this season for the Pistons, Darvin Ham at different stretches for the Lakers, Chauncey Billups in Blazerland. But I think Jacques Vaughn is worse. Like, and for the reasons that we've outlined, podcast after podcast after podcast, like, it just feels like we're heading towards Jacques Vaughn being fired anyway. Like, yeah. How can he in the last 38, 35 games, however long we've got left, God, we're still only halfway through the season. However much longer we have left as Nets fans, Jacques Vaughn isn't going to retain his head coaching position. He isn't, Nick. Like, unless there is a revitalization from DeJounte Murray or D'Lo or whatever comes back and then they spark some sort of change, Jacques Vaughn is not long for the Nets organization. Make the change now. Give Kevin Ollie or whoever else a go at it. And let's just keep riding with this. Something has to change. I'm like, I'm getting over hearing myself spew the same shit over and over. I can't imagine how our listeners feel and other Nets fans feel about it, because it's just repetitive bullshit right now.
Well, it also just feels like the players, you know, don't care for him, you know, based off of his comments and just kind of the vibes with some of the guys. And obviously we know the whole situation with Spencer Dinwiddie and all that too. So it's just like, I like you said, you know, get it done with, go to one of the intern coaches on the bench and, you know, go for your coaching search, you know, in the off season and see what you can do. And hopefully you can land a really good coach, because they haven't been able to do so in, you know, a few years. You know, the last good coach they had was Kenny Atkinson, you know, and obviously wasn't necessarily the best fit with KD and Kyrie, but did a great job with the other groups they had in this team. We know how we both had felt about Steve Nash, and the rest of the fan base felt about him. And then we thought things couldn't get worse. And Jacques Vaughn, you know, maybe, I don't know if he's as bad as Steve Nash. He probably is. But it also is worse in the sense of, like, we saw Vaughn coach his team in the beginning of the year, and he seemed to be doing things well and making good decisions. And then it just went completely downhill. And now we're at the spot we're in now. And it's just like, it's just becoming a task to watch games, because no matter how well they play for majority of the time, you know, they're going to blow it in the fourth.
Yeah. And that's like the players and executing. Like, Cam, I got plenty of criticism for some Cam Johnson criticism that I had. Cam Johnson missing an open three, missing a relatively open layup, despite having 3.5 good quarters of the game. Full credit to him. He was on. He had like 11 points in that first quarter. But when the shots matter, it feels like it's the Jared Allen meme, you know, former Brooklyn Nets, great. When the lights get bright, they were brighter than expected. And the Nets can't handle that. Like, whether it's the Knicks fans, like, destroying the home base at Barclays Center, like, it just feels like someone has to do something, but no one can. And it feels like when there is people that can do something, Jacques Vaughn prevents them from doing it by not initiating sets for them, by not putting them into positions to succeed, or not playing certain players that should be freaking out there in the first place. I'm not putting this all on Jacques Vaughn. You know, there's collective blame to go around. But when the same things keep happening and Jacques Vaughn keeps making those same mistakes and keeps failing to make the same decisions, I'm going to keep criticizing him until the cows come home.
Yeah, I think an interesting, you know, aspect of this whole thing is Joe Tsai and, you know, what he's thinking about. Obviously, blew the game in LA. I believe he was at that Clippers game. And then also tonight, not only do the Nets blow another fourth quarter lead, but as you mentioned, the Knicks fans took over Barclays Center. You know, they were chanting all over the place, because Nets fans don't really care to go to the game right now because they're not happy with the product on the court and the performance. And even for the expectations we had for the season, the Nets aren't meeting that.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
They're not mean. There's no, like, the expectations are just
500.
Yeah. Like, the expectations are to be just like average ish. And, you know, I was asked that on Nick's film school, you know, the other day, like, what are the expectations for the Nets right now? And it's just like, so I just want to see something, like, have something to ride my hat on as a Nets fan right now. And it's cool to see that Mikal and Cam J got their name on the list of the Team USA possibly going to the Paris Olympics. Yeah, cool. That's fine. Cam Thomas, like, what did he do wrong tonight to not get get closing crunch time minutes, fourth quarter minutes for an extended period? Like, I just don't get it. Like, he was he's taken, like, this Clippers game was, like, really positive for him. He's figuring out things, like, just overall. He's not just a shot chucker anymore. He'd be having, like, 6, 7, 8 assists a night if DFS and Royce knew how to hit a three when it actually mattered, and some other guys as well. But come on. Like, it just feels like trade Cam Thomas to a better situation where a team actually values him and can utilize him. Because where this organization is right now, Cam Thomas is succeeding in this despite everything against him, despite the lack of minutes, despite the changing role. And that's full credit to him and his maturity. But when Nets fans are looking for something to cling on to in terms of their fandom, in terms of something to write home about, yeah, I'm a Nets fan, this is the reason why Cam Thomas is doing something, Mikal Bridges is growing. Cool, Mikal Bridges had a nice little bounce back game, and I think that he had a good game overall. But again, like, he looked good in off-ball situations a lot tonight. He was running downhill. He was getting handoffs. And then in the closing periods of the game when it was DSJ leading things and Dennis Smith Jr. was fine and I thought he provided good energy, it just felt like Cam Thomas in that place or in DFS's place would have allowed opportunities for the responsibility. And Cam, like, he had nice chemistry with Nick Claxton as well. Yeah, it's, I don't know, man. I'm just starting to get over it, Nick.
Well, yeah, I think, again, this gets back to kind of the balancing of lineups. And that's, you know, if you're making the decision to roll with Clax, Dorian Finney-Smith, Cam Johnson, Mikal Bridges, now you can probably afford to have someone who's maybe not the best defender, but more of an offensive-minded player because you have Clax and DFS and Mikal out there. And instead, you know, Vaughn elects to go with DSJ, and I thought he was fine defensively, but I think offensively he obviously has shortcomings. You even saw Jalen Brunson defending him and giving him like a 6-foot cushion at one point in the fourth quarter. So it's just like, that's where I think it gets really frustrating. And the thing, like you mentioned with Cam Thomas, this is where I think the frustration gets pretty high with Jacque Vaughn. And again, we didn't go into this podcast saying we're going to be, you know, shitting on Jacque Vaughn for the entire episode, but it's frustrating the aspect of, he's maintaining standards that, you know, winning the game isn't necessarily the most important thing. You know, after that Clippers game, you talk about there being some positive takeaways and different things like that, even though they blew, you know, they allowed the Clippers go on a 22-0 run to end the game. But then in a similar situation where you'd be looking for improvements and growth from a player, if your standard isn't necessarily, you know, winning a championship, contending the season, you'd want to develop a young guy like Cam Thomas and let him play through some of those issues a little bit more, especially, as you mentioned, when he's showing progress as a passer. I think it's pretty apparent over the course of the last week or so, he's really made strides in that area and looking more comfortable in reading defenses. And yes, there's still some bad shots in there, but there's progress being made, and you want to continue that progress and you want to encourage that progress. And when you're not doing that, it's kind of sending the wrong message. So, and again, I think there's still plenty of things Cam Thomas can get better at, but there's clear evidence that he's getting better.
Yeah. Nurturing growth is what a coach should do.
And you would think that was the goal of the season based off of the coaching staff.
You'd think, it just feels like to me that there are no goals right now. There is aimlessness within the Nets organization. Like, I'm going to have to, like, get a thesaurus soon to come up with, like, new adjective to describe where the Nets organization is at. Like, something will probably happen, you know, we'll trade for someone or something and it'll be something to talk about on the pod and we'll have fun. And I'm having fun doing this despite, you know, my clear frustration. But it just, like, the direction is, like, the road to nowhere. And it's, like, I think I've said this before. You preach, enjoy the journey, enjoy the little things here and there. I enjoyed 3.5 quarters. But when you play 5-6 minutes of shit basketball, led by whoever you want to attribute the blame to, and the Nets lose, how are we supposed to enjoy that? Like, yeah. I can acknowledge, you know, the process and some of the execution in those 3.5 quarters, but sports is the games of winning and losing. And the Nets keep freaking losing. They're like, if we were talking about the teams that are the worst teams in the clutch, that is the Nets. The Nets are making losing in the clutch an art form. They are making losing the unlosable games an art form right now. Going up against the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Houston Rockets, if the Nets are up by anything less than 18 points, I'm going to be biting my nails.
I think too is it also prevents you from enjoying the first three quarters when in the back of your head you just think they're going to blow the game and you don't have confidence they can maintain a lead. You know, I think during the broadcast they showed something since like December 14th. The Nets are the worst team in the fourth quarter with like a minus 18 net rating or something along those lines. So that's really as bad as it gets in the fourth quarter. And again, this Nets team is not stacked, is not, you know, full of superstars or anything. There's enough talent where they should be able to grind out some of these wins, grind out wins against some of these teams based off of what they have and the nights that some of the guys are having. And there's just, it just feels like they're not able to put the correct combination on the floor together. And then the confidence goes downhill. And again, as we mentioned to start the show, it's just like an overall black cloud, bad vibes. Like you can feel the negativity on the court from the players where they feel like the doubt kind of sinks in for them.
All right, Nick, are we ready for a Jacques Vaughn quote? You ready for it, mate?
Let's do it.
Okay, deep breath, listeners. Via Lucas Kaplan, Jacques Vaughn says he thought about closing with Thomas at the point guard, but that Brooklyn tried it last game against the Knicks, and I didn't like the returns on it. I've tried Cam Thomas at the one. I'd love to be able to do that and give him more minutes on the floor. I have an expensive laptop that I record this podcast on, and we are very lucky that I'm not breaking it into a million pieces, reading the utter tripe that the man that shares my name keeps spewing onto us as Nets fans. I can't say enough bad things about this guy. Like, I'm ashamed to be a Nets fan because this man is the mouthpiece for my organization right now. It is frustrating beyond compare.
I mean, it really is. I mean, you go back and he's referencing a game that I believe happened in December. And this was obviously a completely different Nets team. And Cam Thomas, as we just talked about, has definitely made strides in terms of setting others up. And then it's just also you're reacting to the situation, which is tonight. And also, like, you have the luxury, too, of having Mikal on the floor, who also had great defensive minutes against Jalen Brunson in this game. So I don't think that's really your biggest issue. And Mikal also in this one was playing well. You know, it's and also the way that the Knicks were playing defense in this game, they were doubling a lot or sending extra attention without the ball even being dribbled at times. So almost creating an advantage for this Nets team just by passing the ball. So if there was a night where you could probably get away with not having the most polished point guard out there all the time, this was probably a good opportunity to do that. And I think Cam Thomas has shown enough where you should run it back again. You know, like no disrespect to Dennis Smith Jr. We know who he is as an NBA player. He's a backup guard. And some might not even say he's guaranteed to be in rotation of every playoff team, you know, based off of the up and down of his play. So it's just like you're saying Dennis Smith Jr. has proven more to you in terms of, you know, offensive basketball and running the offense than Cam Thomas has showcased over the course of the last, you know, week or two, because that's the sample size we're using, because obviously things change as the season progresses.
Like, I just don't understand how you can just basketball is a game of putting the ball in the basket. The Brooklyn Nets, like it, we're going down to like reductive, simplistic, like the most simplest of things. The Nets can't score in clutch time. They can't. Now, Cam Thomas might go 0 of 8 in clutch time, but I'd rather have that guy out there because I feel like I have a greater opportunity of him maybe going 5 of 8. Or him creating opportunities for Nick Claxton in pick and roll on lob opportunities, or to create openings for a DFS and Mikal Bridges on handoffs or in secondary opportunities. Because Cam Thomas isn't like a perfect NBA player. Like people might like shy away and go, "Oh, Jack, you're supposed to be obsessed with this guy." Yeah, like I love him as a prospect, and I think he's going to be a really special player if the Nets can somehow realize what they have on their hands. But it is absolutely shocking what Jacques Vaughn continues to say. And like the Lonnie Walker stuff was shocking. This itself, it's just like, it feels like, and I think Saint from Nets Kingdom and Nets Spaces and stuff has said this as well, like the lack of accountability from Jacques Vaughn himself. It feels like his house definitely has no mirrors. There's no mirrors in there because he ain't looking himself in that at all. When he wakes up, he looks at a blank wall. And that's what it feels like we're doing as Nets fans. We're like banging our head against that wall and expecting something from Jacques Vaughn to say, "Hey, yeah, maybe I made the wrong rotation there. Hey, maybe I should have subbed into Cam Thomas."
Yeah. I mean, it's tough, and it's also just like, what do you lose, you know, trying to run him in that situation? You know, that's also kind of what I don't understand too, is just like, what's like holding you back? You're like, again, it's no disrespect Dennis Smith Jr., but it's just like, that's who's preventing you from running Cam Thomas on the floor after he was having a pretty efficient night. You know, obviously I think he had maybe just one turnover on the night, 6 of 11 from the field, 3 ball wasn't on, but he looked like he was doing good things, you know, had good passes to Nick Claxton down low. It's just, I don't know. It again, it's just very frustrating to watch this team where things just, again, the direction doesn't feel like it's there. The overall vibe is very negative around the whole situation. It's just, where do you go from here? And like you said, best thing that can happen is we get some splash moves at the deadline. And that doesn't necessarily have to be to add better players. It might just be opening up minutes to force the young players into the rotation or maybe a coaching change.
Yeah, like the decision making, I don't trust from, like, I just don't trust the decision making from the leadership at the Nets.
The Nets need a reset. I think that's like, pretty obvious right now.
Yeah, like you need to hit that reset button a billion times.
Yeah.
And just change something.
Clean house. I think
it just feels,
not to say Sean Marks has done a completely terrible job, but I think it, sometimes you're just there for too long. You've had your shot. It hasn't been successful. It's time to start a new era in Brooklyn. That's sometimes just where you're at.
And I don't think Josiah is going to do that. Like, it's just, we need to put it into perspective. Like, we want certain things to happen as fans. We want, you know, Jacques Vaughn to be relieved of his head coaching duties because he's not capable enough. He's not competent enough. We want Sean Marks to be relieved of his duties because there needs to be a set of fresh eyes and a change in this organization. But Josiah's not going to do all of that. Like, he still probably would have got, like, great returns on the sold out Barclays where 75-80% of them were Knicks fans.
Yep.
That's all he cares about at the end of the day. Like, until we hear or see any evidence of different, like, until we hear Sean Marks speak, we hear Josiah speak, until, like, I'd rather hear them speak than Jacques Vaughn right now, because I'm going insane hearing the same, like, absolute word salad come from his mouth. Like, It's aimless. It's boring. It's boring, Nick.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great way to describe, I think, the Nets season and kind of just the task of watching the game sometimes. It's like you mentioned, you know, coming up with the Timberwolves and the Rockets, it's just like you don't have any confidence they're going to win those games or there's going to be anything fun to take away. They might play well for 3.5 quarters, then you get to the crunch time, and then all of a sudden they blow another game. And we love to be wrong. We love to see them go on a stretch, you know, on a run and win some games. But it just usually we've done this for a while. You can kind of get a feel for a team. Doesn't seem like a turnaround's going to happen without some major change.
Can I, like, completely agree with you in saying that we could be wrong? Like, I will happily be wrong if Jacques Vaughn suddenly turns things around, if Sean Marks suddenly turns things around and finds the spark that ignites this team, because it means the Nets will be good.
Yeah.
And if the Nets are good, we're going to be happy because, yes, we are podcasters, but we're more than that, we're fans of this team. We've been fans of this team before that. You've been fans of this team for years beyond even me. If the Nets are good and it means, and Jacques Vaughn is head coach and Sean Marks is GM and Josiah is owner, I'll be ecstatic because the Nets are good. That's the thing that I think some people think when people have certain emotionality or irrationality to their fandom. It's just like, no, I want this team to be good. Like, I'll happily eat the humblest of pies if Ben Simmons comes back and is a goddamn superstar. If Cam Johnson hits a billion clutch threes, if Cam Thomas is actually played and executes, like, I will happily, because I want the Nets to be good. It's lost in the frustration, the irrationality made from me, the emotionality that I bring to the pod and I bring to whatever platform that I'm on. I want the Nets to be good, man. That's it at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, usually, you know, we are criticizing a decision because we don't agree with it because we think it's reflecting negatively on what is happening for the Nets. You know, they could have been in a better situation if there was a different decision made in a lot of these cases. And like you said, we want the team to be good. And I don't think it makes you, you know, a worse fan if you're criticizing a player or a coach on the team. It's just your way of showcasing how you feel about a certain situation. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion on how to be a fan and what you want to do. And at the end of the day, if we don't like Jock Vaughn. We don't think he's a good coach. It's because we want the Nets to be good. And we think Jock Vaughn is not necessarily preventing the Nets from being good, but he's at this point is preventing them from at least being mediocre. You know, I think that's having a level of play. And again, this Nets team is not stacked up, but I think there's been opportunities to at least probably win 3 to 5 more games. And not to say that's a huge deal, but it definitely makes the season more enjoyable. When you win a game, you're just happier. That's just kind of how it goes. There's really no other way around it. You watch sports for your team to win. You're rarely ever watching for them to lose. And in that situation, you'd be tanking, hoping for a number one pick, which the Nets can't even do at this point in time. But Jack, anything else you want to get off your chest before we get out of here?
I'm exhausted, man. Like, it's like where I'm recording from right now, I always record upstairs when I'm with you. And it's like 85, 90 degrees Fahrenheit. I think that's like 30, 35, you know, Celsius. It's like boiling in here, and it doesn't help combine with where I'm feeling emotionally as a Nets fan right now. So let's see what happens against the T-Wolves and the Houston Rockets. But you know, we might do a little bit of a pod in between and discuss maybe some changes with trades that could be made. But it's always good jumping back on with you, Nick.
Yeah, it was great talking to you, Jack. It'd be a lot better if the Nets could find a way to close the fourth quarter. But big thanks, everybody, for listening. Check the buzz on all streaming platforms.